Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody, another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I hope you're all having a great day. Whether you're in Fort Lauderdale or Fort Pierce or somewhere in between, we couldn't be happier that you decided to spend some of your Monday evening with us. So, reinventing yourself after age 50? You have doubts that you could actually do that? Well, maybe you can do it in spite of your reservations. My guest tonight wrote an entire book on this very subject, and she's going to tell you how you can. Debbie Weiss is here. And she's going to explain how, on second thought, maybe I can. I'll get to Debbie in just a moment. But first, a couple of things. One, if you've been reading the newspapers, you won't be surprised to know that COVID is back with a vengeance. There's a couple of new strains out there. I can't tell you how many people I know that have recently been diagnosed. Obviously, we're not at a pandemic stage, but COVID's real. All I can encourage you to do is do the best that you possibly can to stay safe. Take precautions. It hasn't been gone. We now are dealing with three respiratory diseases that look like they're going to be annual. We have the flu, of course. The new flu shots are available. We have RSV, and now we have COVID, which looks like it'll be an annual event. So stay aware. The other thing is it's been true in Palm Beach County, but in Broward County, school's back out. I encourage you, be careful, all right? Stay vigilant. Watch those school buses. Don't pass them. Watch the school zones. Speeding tickets in those school zones can be very, very expensive. So we want all the kids to be safe, and we want you to be safe as well. But tonight, let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Debbie Weiss is here. She's a seasoned life strategist with over five decades of experience. She's faced some of life's most daunting challenges head on and emerged as a beacon of hope and inspiration for others. As the author of the highly anticipated memoir, On Second Thought, Maybe I Can, and a contributing author in the collaborative book, Heart Whispers, Debbie's words have the power to uplift and motivate. She is a tenacious entrepreneur. She manages both a thriving insurance agency and her charming online store, A Sprinkle of Hearts. As host of the Maybe I Can podcast and an inspirational speaker, she generously shares her wisdom and insights on overcoming limiting beliefs and fears. As a dedicated family caregiver and mother, Debbie's resilience shines through in every aspect of her life. Welcome to the show, Debbie. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Scott. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, glad to have you. So I'll start probably with the first question. Why did you write this book?
Well, to be honest, I never really had any dreams of writing a book. You know, a lot of people that I've met in this world tell me that they've had a book on their hearts their whole lives and, you know, they've always wanted to write. And I can't say the same about myself. Consider myself a numbers girl. I was originally a CPA by trade before becoming an insurance agent. And honestly, the whole idea for the book came when, probably about 5 years ago, I somehow came to the realization that I had control of my life, which now that I'm saying it seems ridiculous. But I believed that, you know, my life happened to me. The circumstances that I was dealt, you know, I felt like everybody's got their own, you know, set of circumstances. These were mine, and this is just my destiny, and there's nothing I can do about it. And when I discovered that, yes, of course, these are circumstances and challenges that I have to deal with, however, I do have control in how I deal with them.
It's fascinating because I too wrote a book. I think I mentioned it when we spoke last week. And I also, I actually did want to be an author, but I didn't want to write about anything I wrote about in my book. So I'm sympathetic to the fact that that wasn't one's life dream. But so, if you will, what was going on in your life at the moment that you felt you needed to change the direction that it was going?
Right around my 50th birthday, it kind of became apparent to me for the first time that for the last 30 years, I had given my life to everyone and everything else. I had become my dad's caregiver when I was a teenager. And so my dad had a massive stroke the day after I graduated from high school. He was only 46 years old, and he survived, and he lived for 30 years. But he was disabled from that moment on, and my parents were divorced, and he became my responsibility, so to speak. He did not live with me, but I was his main person. And then when I had my oldest child, he was diagnosed on the autistic spectrum at 2. So all parents are caregivers, but when you have a child with special needs, it takes caregiving to another level.
And you had a career that you were, I mean, was caregiving your full-time profession, or were you also at the time working in a career? Because that's a big balancing act.
Oh, yeah. No, it was not ever my dream and nothing ever I ever thought that I would be doing. No, after college, I was a CPA with a small accounting firm for 10 years, and then I left, and that was in New York. That's where I'm from, and I moved over to New Jersey to take an opportunity to become an insurance agent, something I really knew nothing about. And, so while always working full-time, I was always juggling.
So, again, that's a big balancing act. Did you have dreams back then? I mean, did you know you weren't doing, you know, what you were thought you were destined to do? Were you happy? Were you on it? Because I think what people don't understand is that sometimes new directions happen because I'm not happy. Sometimes new directions are thrust upon us because we've been perhaps fired. A lot of my audience maybe got golden handshakes and left their career. Were you going through a period of time where you knew that it was time for something different?
No. Like I said, I never chose to do this, and don't get me wrong, I would not change a thing. You know, I'm happy that I was there for my dad for all of those years. You know, quite honestly, I wish I had realized that I was giving everything I had to him and then, you know, to my husband and my kids, but specifically my oldest son. And I was leaving nothing for myself. And I think what wound up happening was I was resentful. And then I didn't have a lot of patience. And I was easy to anger. And I was always frustrated. And, you know, I was kind of on that hamster wheel of just working and worried about, you know, my customers and my employees and my kids and my husband and my father and, you know, that was it, and wake up day after day and just do the same thing. And like I said earlier, that was it. I just assumed, well, this is what I got, and I don't have a choice. Nothing I could do about it.
So was there an awakening moment that was kind of the inspiration?
I did get an awakening looking back. When I turned 50, my friends, my kids were, I had my kids later in life, so they were only about 10 and 12, and my friends insisted that we needed to go away on a girls' trip, and I thought, how am I ever going to leave my husband. My husband had anxiety, and how was I going to leave him with, you know, the boys? And I was nervous, but felt, you know, it was finally my time. And we went on that trip, and it was only for 2 nights. But from the minute that we all met at the airport, the laughter, the camaraderie, I honestly, all of my cares melted away. And it was the first time in my adult life that I recalled ever feeling that way. And when we were on that trip and we laughed and we talked about our hopes and our dreams, and I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm a mom. I have big hopes and dreams for my kids. But do I really have any hopes and dreams? No. And I think at that point, that's when I started to realize that I really had lost who I was as a person. I probably never knew who I was as a person since I started my caregiving journey so young.
So, you know, I mean, I think that's inspirational. I mean, obviously, you just listen to you. You have a very upbeat personality. You laugh. Was that suppressed before, or did you just reach the reality that it was time for your dream, new dream, a different dream, or did you maybe not even have dreams? I know that's a complicated question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So, no, that was the thing. You know, sometimes when I describe myself, I think, oh, my goodness, I sound like I was just such an unhappy, negative Nelly. But, no, you're right, and thank you for saying that I do have an upbeat personality. And that personality was the same on the outside. Like I said, I feel like I was just a lot quicker to anger and that frustration piece. And the more complicated it got, you know, as my kids got older and my father became ill, you know, more ill later in life and was nearing the end of his life, and it was, you know, all coming crashing down upon me. I think, you know, that was difficult, but I seem to always have a way of, even though if I complained, I seem to always try to make my stories funny so that my friends and family would still want to talk to me.
Yeah, right. So I guess what the changes, and we're going to talk more about them as the show unfolds, those were more inspirational and self-directed than they were the product of something specific that happened to you to make you reassess your life.
Yeah, I think it was just a series of small steps, and that 50th birthday trip just kind of set the wheels in motion. When I came back from that trip, so one of the things my whole life, I've struggled with my weight. And like many of us, I've been up and down and all around and, you know, lost and gained thousands of pounds. And when I came back from that trip, you know, I was at a particularly unhealthy weight at that point. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go again. I'm going to go back to Weight Watchers because that had always been the one program that worked the best for me and that I was most comfortable with. But this time, I'm going to approach it differently. Instead of having that perfectionist mindset that I had had in the past, you know, you're either on, you're off. I need to lose X amount every week, or I want to lose this much by my birthday, by the summer, by, you know, whatever it is. I decided that hadn't worked for me in the past. So this time, I'm going to set tiny, tiny goals for myself. And my first goal was, all I'm going to do is attend a meeting every week, religiously. That's it. None of the rest mattered. The scale didn't matter. What I ate didn't matter. I am just holding myself to going to a meeting. And I did that for several months, and my weight kind of stayed the same. And then I added on another small component. You know, for 50% of the time, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm eating and track what I'm eating and all of that. And slowly but surely, you know, adding to those goals, not getting myself crazy if I you know, missed a goal or whatever it was, it was like, okay, stuff happens. Nobody's perfect. Just get back on the wagon, you know, tomorrow right. or at the next meal or whatever. And it took me many, many years. I never reached my ultimate weight loss goal. Right. I still haven't. But it doesn't matter because I realized there is no end game. For the rest of my life, I just need to be cognizant of this. And some days will be better and some weeks and months and whatever, but it's okay. This is now my life. And when I saw how I could take something that I had been struggling with for my entire life, and just by changing my attitude towards it, just by changing my mindset, I changed the outcome. Weight Watchers didn't change. The food didn't change. You know, changes a little bit.
Right.
But it was just my mindset. And that was really, I believe, the catalyst for me saying, oh, well, if it worked for this, let's try somewhere else. Where else in my life can I apply this rule?
That's terrific. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Debbie Weiss, who is the author of a wonderful book. It's called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. We're talking about reinventing yourself after age 50. We're talking about the ingredients of that. We're talking about the challenges of being a caregiver for multiple family members and a whole host more. If you have any questions for Debbie about her book or about what we've been talking about or what we will talk about, you can reach us. All you have to do is call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you decided to spend some of your Monday evening with us. I'm here tonight with Debbie Weiss. Debbie is the author of a fascinating new book called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. We're talking about reimagining our life even after age 50. Debbie has a fascinating life story that she's telling us about, both as a caregiver and how she decided to reinvigorate, reinvent, and recommit to taking care of herself. People, particularly my audience, and think that our obligation, which is much what you said about, you know, you thought your mission in life was to take care of your dad, to take care of your older son, take care of your husband.
Yep.
People think that taking care of yourself is selfish. Is it?
Oh, boy. So for the longest time, I believed that as well. You know, there was no time for myself because I had to make sure that everybody else was taken care of. And unfortunately, I waste several decades believing that. And it's definitely not true, because what you find is if you don't take care of yourself, you know, it's that same old adage about the air on the airplane and putting your oxygen mask on first. But it's so true, because you're depleted, and I know that that's why I had no patience very often with my dad or my kids or my husband, because I was burnt out. There was nothing left. I was growing resentful because there was no time for me to refill my own tank, and we all need that for our physical and mental and emotional health.
So were you afraid when you reached this realization, afraid is the only word, when you wanted to change direction? And we haven't really talked about how you have changed direction.
Yeah. So, quite honestly, at that point, my dad had already passed away.
Okay.
My sons were older, and we didn't get to this yet, but I did become my husband's caregiver, and I was not at that point. So at the point where I honestly started to change direction, it really was because, and this is going to come in from left field, So my husband suffered from many different types of illness, as well as anxiety and depression. And I was the money handler. And any time that I would say to my husband, we can't spend this much, or I said anything that had to do with tightening up our money belt, or the fact that we're, you know, got in some debt, or whatever it was, his anxiety would go through the roof. He would be very difficult to live with. So what I did was I kept it to myself, and which was not the right thing.
Right.
But I did. I kept it to myself, and I made poor decisions on my own for fear of bringing that anxiety of his back up, which I didn't like dealing with. And I wound up getting us into a place that was not good financially, and I got to the point where I said, I have to face this. And it took me a very long time to come to this, and to be quite honest, it was kind of another aha moment that I had. This was only a few years ago. This was in, I know exactly what the date was, February 12th, 2020, right before COVID lockdown.
Wow.
I was at the time, Oprah Winfrey was having this, like, I don't remember, 10-city tour, I guess, and it actually was associated with Weight Watchers. And in each city, she had a different celebrity guest. And so I went to her tour in Brooklyn. She had Michelle Obama. as the guest, and it was an amazing day. And at the end of the day, it was just Oprah alone on the stage, and she tells this story about how each of us has a secret that we keep deep down, and we keep shoving it down. And that's what I was doing with the money. Anytime that it would start to come into my consciousness and I would start to worry about it, I would say, don't think about it. And I would shove it back down and try not to think about it. And as she was talking, I knew she was talking to me, and I knew that this was what she was telling me. And she said, if you keep it stuffed down and you don't pay attention to it, it's going to erupt like a volcano. If you deal with it now, it might not be easy. It could be downright hard, but it's still going to be better because you are going to be proactively dealing with it versus having it basically explode in your face.
I mean, that's a fascinating story, and it's true. I would venture a guess for everybody, right? She was talking to you, but I'm sure you weren't alone in the audience. So I have no doubt that many other people got the same out of that you did. I mean, that really is fascinating. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. For regular listeners, you know that we're here every Monday from 6 to 7 talking about issues that impact boomers and their parents. If you're a new listener, we're here every Monday from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight I am talking with Debbie Weiss, who is an author of a book called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. And we're going to tell you how you can get that in a little while. But the book is really about the awakening and the realization that you can change direction and reinvent yourself after the age of 50. We have a lot more to talk to Debbie about, and if you have any questions for her, you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you decided to join us tonight. I'm here with Debbie Weiss. Debbie, I didn't think I told you this the other day. Weiss is my wife's maiden name, so we're from New York, so I wonder if there's a relationship.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. But anyway, Debbie is the author of On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. I think before I get to my question, we have somebody on the phone. I can't see whose name it is, but we have a caller. So, caller, are you there? I guess not. We had a caller.
Okay. Maybe they'll call back.
Stage fright. Yeah. Anyway, we didn't talk about what the changes that you instituted were. What did you do? I mean, how do you think you've reinvented yourself? Was it just the mental awareness of needing to look at life differently, or did you actually make significant real changes?
So that moment with Oprah then led me to doing what she said and taking control of my money situation.
Right.
And so what I wound up doing was thinking, okay, since I wasn't comfortable, still wasn't very comfortable with discussing anything with my husband, the best option was to bring in more money. And so I decided that I was going to sell this supplement product that I had recently started taking that I really, really loved. And I joined something called a mastermind, which is I had been listening to a podcast of a woman who was a motivational speaker, and she kept talking about a mastermind, and I had absolutely no idea what that was. But I just thought to myself, well, if from everything that I had heard her describe, I will sell this supplement, I'll join this mastermind, and they will teach me how. And I joined this mastermind, and this was in 2021, and it was still virtual. I walked into a Zoom room of 150 people. Pretty much the average age was probably about 35. I was, 57 or 58 at the time. First time I really felt my age a work setting, since I have, I was self-employed, so, and who worked for me, people who are my age, so I never had that feeling before. And they were throwing around terms and professions and things that they did. I had no idea what they were talking about. I felt like I was Dorothy and had just, fallen into the Wizard of Oz. But it was very interesting because what I found is so many of them were taking their life experiences and using it to benefit other people. And I thought, well, yeah, I like this supplement, but it's not a passion project for me. And right. When I listened to others, I was inspired because even though my careers had been fine, it's not like I didn't like them. But I had always felt that there must be more, that I was meant to do more, and I never knew what it was. And so this whole experience opened me up to a whole new world. And I honestly had started a business called the Caregiver Support Squad because what were my experiences? I had been a caregiver for 4 decades.
Right.
And funny you should have asked that question about self-care because that was the mission of the business, to teach caregivers to prioritize their own self-care.
Right.
And when I started and, kind of started down this rabbit hole, because it is kind of a rabbit hole of all you have to do to start an online business, especially for someone who's older. I was on Facebook, but I didn't know anything about Instagram, let alone TikTok and all these other things. And I really felt ancient when talking to other people. And so it was a big learning curve. And when I started the business and I started coaching women, primarily caregivers, I found that at the time, and we can jump back to this, I had started to take on the role as a caregiver now to my husband.
Right, he got sick at this time.
Yeah,
right?
He didn't get, he was sick, but he wasn't terminally ill.
Right.
And it was just too much for me to, I found it was too much for me to emotionally take on. And around that same time is when I really did have that epiphany of, oh my goodness, I've had the power, you know, through everything that I had seen, done, and thought up to that point, I realized I do have the power to change my life. I consider myself fairly intelligent. If I made it almost 60 years and didn't realize, there must be other people out there who are like I was, and I need to tell them there's another way. And what's the best way to tell them? Write a book.
Fascinating. So that's a great segue. How can people find your book?
So it's on anywhere that books are sold online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere else that you get books.
And I am calling it the right name, right? On
yes.
Second thought, Maybe I Can by Debbie Weiss.
As a matter of fact, and I don't know if you and I discussed this, but I just got off a call about an hour ago. So coincidentally, there is another author named Debbie Weiss. She's exactly the same age as I am, except she lives on the other coast in California, and she's a widow.
Yes.
And she wrote a book about dating, but my husband, we didn't get up to this yet, but he just passed away 8 months ago, so
right.
I certainly am not dating nor writing a book about it. But so do have to get the name of the book right, otherwise you'll wind up probably with the other Debbie Weiss's book.
So the name is On Second Thought, Maybe yep. I Can by Debbie Weiss. If you're just tuning in, this, of course, is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. And, yes, I am talking to Debbie Weiss, the author of On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. We're talking about reinventing oneself after the age of 50. We're talking about life experience, how it impacts you, how it changes. We're also going to delve a little bit more into how the role of caregiver can influence your ability to do the things that you are looking forward to doing. If you have questions for Debbie or for myself, you can reach us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can and give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're spending some of your Monday evening with us. I hope wherever you are, you're dry, safe, not sitting in any traffic. I'm here tonight with Debbie Weiss. Debbie is an author of a fascinating new book called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. We're talking about reinventing oneself after the age of 50 and how you balance that with being a caregiver. And Debbie, I'd like to get to the caregiving part a little bit. We haven't really spent a lot of time on that. How did you balance your caregiving duties with your new goals and the ultimate desire to write a book? So you've got your core business, you've got your online business, your caregiving for part of the time with your father, but then your elder son, then your husband. How do you balance all of that?
So most of once that transformation started taking place, it was with my son and my husband, and more recently, my husband. And first off, I must say that I'm extremely lucky because I do have an insurance agency. I am self-employed, and I have a wonderful team of women that support me and don't need me around all the time. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to do everything that I've been doing these last couple of years. And honestly, with the pandemic, you know, we've all learned some new things about working remotely, and so that really has allowed me to set up an at-home office where I can, you know, since I don't have to be answering the phones in the day-to-day and just be there troubleshooting oversee, I can do that from home. My husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer a little over a year ago now. It was actually June of 2022, which is right around the time I was toying with the idea of writing a book. At that point, we knew that there was no cure, and like I said, my team was amazing, so I was able to be home and care for him full-time while doing everything else around what he needed. So when I did decide to write the book, and let me just say that I said in the beginning that I never had any inclination to write a book, and I'm not a natural writer, and it's not something that I ever would have thought to do. The only way that I was comfortable trying to do it was with help, so a course presented itself to me, helping first-time authors bring their stories to life. And since it did coincide with my husband getting this diagnosis, I was seeing a therapist at the time, and I said to the therapist, you know, explain the situation. I said, I know it's ridiculous that I would even be bringing this up to you. What, you know, a ridiculous time to even think about taking on such a project. And she said to me, no, you're wrong. I think you should do it. And I said, well, how am I going to do it? What if I can't show up one week because of Gary, or I didn't get to write and there was homework? And she said, who cares about any of those things? She said, this will give you something of your own, separate from this caregiving, separate from this trauma that you're all going through right now.
Right, right.
And so that's what it did.
That's great. Any particular setbacks that held you back, or and then I know you talked about it, the insurance agency people were helping your employees there, but did mm-hmm. other people help you navigate this journey? Because that's a pretty big plate.
Well, you mean the journey is writing a book or caregiving or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did, like I said, I had this writer's group that I was a part of, and, you know, everybody knew what I was going through and so understanding, and I have a very wonderful group of close friends that are family, and
right.
some of the close friends are family. So I'm extremely, extremely lucky. Without all of their support and encouragement, I couldn't have done it. And like I alluded to earlier, my husband had mental health problems, and those became quite serious in the last few months of his life, which were much more, I don't know, want to say more challenging, but if you've never experienced that, it's very different than physical illness and very tough in a different way.
Yeah, so that is the question I wanted to ask you. How does being a caregiver differ for somebody with mental illness than being somebody with a terminal illness and then a kid on the spectrum, and then prior to that, your dad who had the remnants consequences of a stroke? They're very different skill sets.
Oh, yes. I don't think that there's anything that, if you have no experience with mental illness, can prepare you. Because all the things that you know that you learn that are logical to say or do to help someone don't work. And their reactions aren't necessarily logical. And you have to learn a whole new system, because somebody who is, let's say, God forbid, dying of cancer, and they know that they, in their right mind, don't choose to proceed with the treatment, you can accept that because they understand all the ramifications. But when someone has mental illness and they clearly need treatment, but they refuse, the only way to get them treatment is to have a psychiatrist deem them incapable of making that decision on their own, a danger to either themselves or others, to actually hold them. So there's many laws, and the laws here in New Jersey probably differ. You know, each state is a little bit different. And you know, you are the target of a lot of anger and resentment by that person, because you're doing things to help them, but they don't view it that way. And it's really challenging, because it made me second guess myself so many times. And actually, a decision that I had to make, my husband passed away December 30th, and a decision I had to make to basically put him into the hospital, mental hospital, in November, wound up being the worst experience of his life and my life. And he came home the beginning of December really not liking me.
Right. Now, I'm all too familiar with the Baker Act, which I assume is what you're talking about. And we've done a couple of radio shows on Baker Act, and I have been very involved in the world of guardianship over the years. So I'm past president of Florida State Guardianship Association and treasurer of the National Guardianship Association. And so those are extremely challenging moments in time. And to do that while you're doing everything else is really an amazing testimony to your strength and determination. If you're just tuning in, I've been talking tonight with Debbie Weiss. She is the author of On Second Thought, Maybe I Can, Overcoming the Challenges We All Face, but in her case, numerous challenges, far more than most people would be able to navigate or comprehend or deal with, and yet she has done it successfully, and she has put it all in a book, On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. If you tuned in late and you're sorry that you missed the beginning of the show, the good news is you don't have to miss it forever, because we podcast the show. It'll be up and running tomorrow on your favorite podcast platform. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm Getting Up. This show will pop, as will all of our previous shows. If podcasting isn't your thing, there's other ways. You can go to my website, Palm Beach, comfortcare.com, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfortcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Regular listeners know that you don't put a T in there, because if you put a T in there, you won't find it. So it's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. So new listeners, make note, don't put a T. There's a radio button link up at the top of the website, and there this will be. Of course, there is no reason to ever have to search us out, because you can listen wherever you are on your smartphone. Download the iHeartRadio app, set it a reminder for 6 o'clock on Monday, True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, and there we will be. And if that's not enough, you can always simulcast it on your computer, because we do simulcast it, TrueOldiesFLA.com. TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, I'm going to be talking to another author, but an entirely different subject. David Rozelle is going to be here. David was here about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we talked a lot about his book at the time. He's come out with a new book. It's called In the Know, and it's about life settlements. And while we have talked about life settlements on the show before, it's worth another view. We're also going to talk about volatile markets. We're going to talk about inflation. We're going to talk about interest rates, how you navigate that. Where should you go next? We're going to talk about allocation. We're going to talk about 60-40 market timing. David's an interesting guy. I spoke with him this afternoon. It's going to be a fascinating show. Don't miss it. In 2 weeks, of course, is Labor Day, and we'll be having a good show for you then. We'll replay one there. And then the week after that, Leonard Hawk's going to be here, Dr. Hawk. He's the former medical director of Hospice by the Sea and the former palliative director of Trustbridge. He's now has a new role. We're going to talk about Pulsed. We're going to talk about dying with dignity. I spent a couple of hours with Dr. Hawk this week on another issue. He's an amazing man, an amazing speaker. He has a lot of wonderful stories. That's a show you're not going to want to miss. But in the few minutes I have left with my guests, Debbie Weiss. Debbie, again, how do people find your book if they want to buy it?
On anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you can always go to my website, DebbieRWeiss.com. Made me think of what you said with no T. I was thinking to myself, you have to include the R, because otherwise you won't find me.
Good. I'm glad I reminded you. So, you do a podcast, right?
I do.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So the name of my podcast is the Maybe I Can Podcast, and it's that same kind of theme of, you know, there are things out there that you thought you couldn't do, and you'd be surprised what you can do when you change your mindset. And so some of the episodes are just me talking, sharing my own stories, and then others are interviews with other interesting people who share their own stories of transformation.
So you've mentioned, you know, you cared for your dad for near 30 or 40 years. You have a son who is growing up. He's on the spectrum. You've recently lost your husband. You've written a book during all that going on. You're doing a podcast. You have a little online business going on. Life has changed for you dramatically, but at times, is it fair to say that you might feel lonely? And how do you deal with that? How do you bring your positive attitude to that dynamic?
I definitely do have those times that I feel lonely. Early on, after my husband passed away, I was most lonely when I would be out at night. You know, people, friends would want to keep me busy, and they'd take me out to dinner, and I couldn't stand coming home to an empty house. My oldest son does live with me, but he might not be here, and it was still coming home, and my husband wasn't here, and I found that terribly lonely. Now it just, you know, it hits me at the unexpected times.
Right.
You know, of course it's going to hit me when it's our anniversary, his birthday, you know, things like that. But it's when it just is unexpected that it just pops up and, you know, smacks me in the face, just like everybody else. But I guess I really try hard not to let it get the best of me for an extended period of time. It's okay to feel it. It's normal. I should be going through grief. You know, grief
right.
is a, could be a never-ending process. It just changes.
Right.
But
right.
I'm really try hard not to let that define me.
So is it safe to say that you believe that it's never too late for new dreams?
Oh, absolutely not. I really feel like so I'll be turning 60 in a month, and
happy birthday.
Thank you. And I really do believe that it's only just beginning for me.
That's great. I mean, it's very inspirational. You have an incredibly inspirational story. I mean, the challenges that you've gone through really reflect everyday life for so many people, but few of us have the ability to talk about it the way you talk about it, both here on the show, but also in your book. So, I think what you are doing is giving people the same kind of inspiration, perhaps, that Oprah gave you when she highlighted the ability, or highlighted in you the ability to take control of your own destiny. I think that's a fascinating story. I really appreciate your taking the time to be here tonight. So thank you.
Thank you. That's actually the biggest compliment that you could pay me, because that really is my goal, is to pay it forward. The way that she inspired me, that's what I hope to do to other people, or for other people.
So if you'd like to find out Debbie's story, more about Debbie's story, you can buy her book. It's called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can, available on all the normal channels. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it in Barnes & Noble or on Barnes & Noble's website. I encourage you to do so. Debbie Weiss, thank you so much for taking the time, being such an engaging guest. I truly appreciate it. I wish you nothing but success, and I hope everything continues to go your way. For everybody else, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We'll be here next week with a wonderful show. Debbie, thank you again.
Thank you.
And have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. Good night, all.